There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben Kissel with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah. Henry Zebrowski back in the California sunshine, away from the Florida sunshine. I will say I will miss my crew that I was shooting this movie with. They were very fun. Jeremy Gardner is a very funny dude. It was a lot of fun. I'm covered in bug bites.
Scary. It's a scary movie, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the best
part. I'm excited
part.
To see it.
And I'll tell you what, Leesburg, not to offend any listeners there, but
no.
it could use a do-over.
Why? It's already it had an Applebee's. It had the Bloomin' Onion Outback.
It did not have an Outback. No, it had an Applebee's. It had a Red Lobster. I got turned away from a restaurant for wearing a purple shirt. And I think I may have.
Why?
Because, well, honestly, I showed up. It's like I have my yellow short shorts on, my purple shirt on. It's buttoned down the way I always do. So my chest hair is out. You could like see most of my nipples. I walk into a restaurant.
The classic Polish Italian.
Yeah. I walk in and the woman's like, we don't have a table available. And like the restaurant's half empty. And I was like, well, what about by the bar? Can I sit by the bar? And she's like, yeah, unfortunately, you can't. Well, you can sit there. But and I was like, well, can I eat there? And she's just like, it ruins the cycle of food if you eat there for the other customers. And I was like, I'm going to eat like a lot of food. Like I'll eat a lot of food. I'll drink a lot of beer and I'll bring a bunch of people here if you want me to.
Sure.
She's like, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to serve you today. And I was like, this is discrimination.
Wow. And on the door, they did say hairless only. And you went in there trying to infiltrate and integrate that building with your beautiful hairy body, and they rejected
it. Well, I'll say, man, it's like, yeah, maybe, yes, certainly I was dressed as a sexually ambiguous man. But that's how it goes. But guess what?
Why
those
not?
Men spend the most on appetizers.
Absolutely they do. I bought a basketball. I bought a basketball today. Basketball Ben is back on the hard courts.
You never had a basketball pass.
No, his first one. But I also played basketball today for 4 minutes before we recorded. And then I went to the deli and I got myself a Modelo and I cracked it open. And I was like one of them guys in one of those commercials after a hard day working out.
They don't do those commercials anymore because it doesn't quench your thirst to just immediately drink booze after working out.
Yeah. But nonetheless, that is where I'm at. Basketball Ben is back. Meet me in Brooklyn. I am willing to take on a couple of average-sized people.
By the way, when Ben holds a basketball, from afar, it looks like he's holding a Christmas ornament.
It is unbelievably small. My hands are so big.
I think they're going to be afraid for you in the court because people are going to show up to like challenge the big man and can end up doing the fucking, your goon squad windmill, just taking men out back and forth while they're all hanging on your arms while you're trying to throw the basketball in.
Welcome to it, man. Welcome to the new Ben. I'm getting in shape. I'm doing exercises. I'm going to do a lot of calf raises. Can't wait. Speaking of calves, we're going to talk about this story where a dude fed his foot to his friends, which I don't know. It's kind of wild. And then Travis has a crazy story too, Henry, that you haven't heard yet. He told it on the last stream.
I'm very excited.
And that story is just absolutely crazy. And for some reason, this whole week, speaking of food, cannibalism is the theme. I don't know what's going on with folks. They're getting really creative in the kitchen, and evidently that means they are feeding themselves or someone they murdered to others. So
we are just meat, Kissel. That's all
I know.
We're meat that can vote.
Yeah. And I think we actually vote like meat. I did watch a little special on, what was it? Oh, I don't know. The channel that TLC, the one that has 600-pound life.
Oh, yeah.
They also have a show called Unwanted Skin or Needless Flesh or something like that. And of course, I have a bunch of that. You have a little bit of that now, too.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Because and I was hyper-triggered.
Yeah,
that show was, what's the point of even getting in shape? Your body looks worse when you're thin.
No, it's about health.
I'm constantly trying to refill the tube.
The whole point is that it is about feeling and it's being better. It's about having a healthier life. And then your body, guess what it comes down to? It's like they see you in their clothes. Women don't care. They don't care.
I don't think that's true. They don't want to be able to wear you as a shawl.
No,
I mean,
they don't
know if that's true.
Women
they
don't care.
Tell,
They don't, because they still sleep with us.
All I know is I've never seen a Sports Illustrated body issue, 10th edition, where they were just like, we got the former large ones, now they're small. No one's buying it. We're not on the front page of Men's Health.
If they did a special edition of Sports Illustrated called The Producers That Date Our Models, and they cut to the men that date the women on those covers, you would see a bunch of us.
My body has also been stretched out like Play-Doh and Laffy Taffy before,
yeah.
And I've never had anyone sort of mock me for my extremely stretched out nipples or anything.
Ugh, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. All right. I don't even take my shirt off at the beach, which I think is even more uncomfortable than, but it is what it is.
I have pictures that I didn't want to put up because I didn't want you to be upset with them, with you in the ocean.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Yeah, no, you did openly mock me in front of a series of people.
Well, yeah.
Very close friends and family.
But that's the people you can mock other friends in front of the best.
You know what? I mean, I've always been a shirt boy, and I didn't even have shorts because I didn't even like want to get into the water and Brooke cut my pants for me, so I looked like the Incredible Hulk if he never really got angry, but was never really smart enough to become a scientist either. So.
Yeah, you tried to take a shit in the ocean of their resort.
I did not.
Yes, you did, and you got all cut up and falling on the rocks. I've already told this story.
Oh.
Yeah, you did it in front of the whole restaurant. You look like King Kong of the ocean, crawling down the side of the rocky crevasse next to that very fancy restaurant with all the Italians just staring at you.
Oh my, they weren't even looking my direction. They were horrified. The American beast.
It's amazing how invisible you think you are.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you wake up and you immediately start slamming rosé, that is just, you just become the invisible person.
All day,
but
man.
Then evidently I did show up in photographs. So that was kind of rough. And you're right. Only swim in the areas that's, you know, designated for humans to swim. I almost died.
Well, you made a big announcement. You're like, I'm going to take a shit in these rocks.
I did not make a big announcement.
All sunburned, wine swollen.
See, this is how people start thinking I drink Bud Light Lime.
It's not the truth. You're doing revisionist history on your own.
I remember when you were bringing alternative beers. Honestly, what it is, you replace me and Eddie in your head all the time.
No, Eddie
that's what
only's ever
you
drank.
You replace me and Eddie. And then, bore the brunt of Eddie's stupidity so many times, and probably vice versa, but I know you do that for a fact.
Occasionally
Holden.
Eddie's got different things. Eddie's got skin tags. Eddie drinks like big gallons of whatever is the cheapest beer around, and he snores while he's awake. Those are the things that you can get Eddie on. You are just, you're an interesting adventurer.
I am out there on national television defending our constitutional rights on a daily to weekly basis.
We all know. And I wish that they paid you, man.
I know, that would be nice. Well, it's an investment into the future, and I do love doing it.
Yeah.
So let's go. Let's see. Travis, you have a crazy story, by the way.
We should tell this story.
Yeah. Well, for the people who don't know me, I'm on the last stream.
They all know, yeah.
And, you know, my producer name is Titties. Yeah. And basically, my role on the show is to sort of trot out my list of traumas to my life.
A stunning amount.
But so the other night, I was in bed with my girlfriend.
Nice.
And we are woken up by the sound of clattering and door slamming in our building's hallway. And also the sound of a snarling dog. And we get loud pounding at the door, and it's my girlfriend's ex-boyfriend.
Wow.
Blackout drunk.
Good.
Screaming through the door, telling me that I'm worthless, that she's cheated on me with him. And like,
the whole time the dog is like barking
crazy. There's a snarling pit bull named Creepy on the other side. On the other side of the door.
Please,
and luckily,
was it his dog?
It's his dog. It was their dog. But so he somehow got into the building, but could not get past our door. And so he's pounding and yelling. And so I'm like having to talk to this guy.
Right. And he's really throwing some kind of truths out there.
Yeah. He's calling me a short piece of shit.
Right.
And, you know, he found out everything about me. He like investigated my life. I've never met this person before. And so he's.
How did he find you?
Well, we were at her apartment. So he knew where she lived.
Yeah. It might be time to move, but.
So he's screaming all this shit, and it's going on for hours. Like, and if we call the police, they shoot the pit bull. That's the big rub. And we can't call the police. So I have to
love that you saved the pit bull, by the way. Pit bull's just doing pit bull job. It's not his job to be a pit bull.
His job is to death rattle me. To grab me by my neck. Yeah. And
you know for a fact pit bulls wake up and they're like, I don't want to snarl today.
They're really sweet.
Rob.
No, they're very sweet. They just when they sense aggression from their owner too, then they're on full alert and they're ready to snap and shit. So what happened?
I have no idea who this person is. It's just somebody telling me about myself, all the terrible things about me.
Wow. It's kind of fun almost. It's like Twitter come to life.
It's like my brain is on the other side of the door telling me all of my personal and work stress and anxieties. So then he's berating me with all this shit, and then there was a pause, and then he murmurs through the door, I know they call you titties.
That is the best story I have heard in so long. And move over, John Mulaney. So Travis Morningstar, ladies and gentlemen.
I know they call you titties.
But we called his mom. That was the end of this. We called his mom. And that was the most depressing part of it. It was like, oh, this is like a 26-year-old.
Canadian.
And that's why they just feel so dispossessed.
And he also... I'm not throwing his name out here. He also has a feeder gainer fetish.
Cool.
Whatever. Going back to what we were talking about previously, if you do got the gainer thing, you can't reverse it.
I mean, that's kind of what our first year of doing last stream was making fun of feeder gainers.
Well, presenting them as a subculture. Yeah.
Presenting them because
fun.
They were so happy and they had something so amazing to themselves.
Well, honestly, my 600-pound life, that is the elephant in the room on every My 600-Pound Life episode.
Oh, I mean,
it's mostly feeder gainer relationships because the dudes
so
are
tiny.
Just like, I'll pump your gas if you give me some Kool-Aid. Like the guys
are so small. The ones that are there washing their feet and like putting their pants on for them and like putting them in the luggage cart in order to get them through the airport. They're all like 135 pounds.
It's really small. We've had this conversation before.
They like being wrapped up in it. Well, I'm glad that you didn't get murdered, Travis.
Well, not yet. Yeah, another day.
I know, man.
But
does seem like you angered the wrong spirit somewhere with the bullet, the car, and now the man with the dog.
But the dude, how long were they together before this happened?
3 years.
Okay.
But they broke up and they were separated for like 6 months. Then she met me, and I think that triggered him. That sent him out.
Yes,
I don't know.
I could see that though, because he's hanging around. There's always like this idea of like, she's gonna come back around.
Oh, she can't wait. Yeah.
She's like, they're like texting a little bit, mostly because she's sort of afraid of him. And so like it's her kind of like keeping him from doing this while she's alone. But now that while you're here, you're the buffer, and now you gotta learn how to fight.
Look, I'm ready.
I can see it. His fingers did do it like I'm ready to.
I'm
like
ready.
Whoa, Travis. You're being very aggressive.
He's texting he was texting, you know, 60 times a night.
Right.
And one of the texts was him threatening to cut his own hands off.
Wow. Interesting. He's really not thinking about it.
Well, you know, I got to say, for all those guys, for everyone to be like, she's going to come back. It's like Anthony Bourdain couldn't even keep a girlfriend.
Couldn't.
And technically, he's the coolest man of all of the 3 billion males.
Yes.
Anthony Bourdain would probably be named the coolest man alive.
He was number one. He was number one coolest man alive. And if he can't keep a girlfriend, that's how it is. And so it's like, honestly, that dude's going to come to a realization. He's going to feel real sheepish about this behavior one day.
Yeah. And there has been a lot of conspiracies about Anthony Bourdain. I don't even want to entertain that he was killed by Hillary Rodham Clinton. Meanwhile, she blew the easiest election in the history of elections in this country. But somehow, she has the ability to kill Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, no. She doesn't have the clout anymore. I mean, I guess technically she's got the money to like get a private dude. So she can go to those old Blackwater guys. But I don't think that they do it like that.
I want you to Pokemon Go assassinate Anthony Bourdain.
dang it. 2016. Oh, man. But Henry, you were telling me that Anthony Bourdain, because he was heartbroken. But it's like, that's not a reason. Like, I was so sad when you told me that. I hope that's not true.
I heard a little bit of a rumor that maybe him and Asia Argento had split up and that was the trigger. But mostly it just shows what depression does as an illness is it decreases your inhibition towards, like, it decreases your impulse control. And a lot of it does, too, is that it makes the idea of the jumping off the edge, a much easier pill to swallow. Like, you do this, right. You're way more rash because you're sick. You have an illness. It's like, it's not just, he's not glum. It's that he was already battling with depression, and then these trigger things make you extra vulnerable.
As all of us do. Well, I hope, oh, that was, anyway, that's a sad story. It's not a very side sad story. A side story is a fun story, like about the one about the man who fed his foot to his friend.
Yes, I was. I got deeper into Marvin Heemeyer about because I found that he had
the killdozer guy.
I went into he has hours of tape where he describes. Yes, it's like he did a recorded journal that I listened to, and there and I would try to isolate clips from it, but it's so boring. That really? I don't even know if you like. I was listening to it falling asleep. I was really expecting a lot more fireworks. I was expecting a lot more like being super metal. The most metal thing he said, which is like, sometimes responsible people are driven to do unreasonable things. But it sounds like a guy that would trap you in a conversation, your neighbor who would trap you in a really detailed, long, boring conversation about like his problems with the landlord.
Is the whole time in these videos, is he putting together the killdozer at least?
Yeah, well, you like, hear like, meow, meow, like you hear shit like that, but it also stuff like but it's mostly him railing against the local politics and stuff. But there's a new documentary that's supposed to be coming out the end of this year about him, which they finally did, where they got witnesses together. Because most people are reading about their reactions to Marvin Heemeyer were that like, he's a funny guy, he's a jocular guy, he's always out there making fun, making bets, running around. They're like, no one expected this. But at the same time, other people, I was like, from hearing him, it sounds like he was a real fucking pain in the ass. And that it sounds like that, especially if you're driven to build a killdozer over a year and a half.
Why does everyone, no one looks at the actions of the nice person in the Piggly Wiggly?
No.
Who might be very kind around the produce and the peanuts, but are they building a killdozer or are they collecting dozens of guns within 6 months?
And somehow,
I think we should look at activity sometimes too.
Yes, I think you should. Yeah, if you could look at their debit card activity and see what's happening, you'd learn a lot more about the inner life of the man, because the man was also building the killdozer while sharing a workshop with another company. So they would come in, and he's just like, morning. And they're like, what's that 2-ton steel shell for that you seem to be fitting for that bulldozer over there? It's like, nothing. All right.
Jocular guy.
A jocular funny guy. And so, but also shit like, he had to weld himself in there. He had to sit in the bulldozer.
Really?
And then using a remote crane, had to put it on over him and weld himself into it from the inside to do it. So he was definitely going to commit suicide. And it had gun turrets and shit on it. But if you watch that footage, ooh, man, he cuts through those buildings like butter. And I want to do it so bad, but I want to do it for good.
He could have been the world's best snow plower. He could have saved the town and sent. Well, the kids would be upset because they would have to go to school that day.
Yeah,
but he could have done something.
But then he
could
have turned the killdozer on their shitty parents. You know what I mean?
That's possible. He was like the bad guy from the Ninjago Lego movie, which I just watched today.
Yes,
interesting.
It's very good. The Lego movies are good. I'm just gonna say
I will watch those eventually. I got to get re-up on my edibles now that I'm back in town. But
any legal marijuana in Leesburg, Florida?
I got some maybe not so legal marijuana, but it was pretty good. It reminded me of back in the day because I had fucking stems and seeds in it.
Oh,
it came in a dirty bag. It was really nice.
Of course.
No, they all really hooked me up. I had a good time in a hotel room. But a part of the thing about being a supervillain is that in the end, it kind of makes you super boring, I guess.
I guess so, because you can't tell anyone what you're up to. You really can't tell anyone. You can't expose your personality, which is theoretically the thing that makes you interesting because it's of a maniacal maniac.
Yeah, you can, on Tinder, it would make you super cool to talk about the killdozer you're building, but it also will probably end the date.
Imagine having that photo for your Tinder, though, the killdozer right behind you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Honestly, crossed right in front of the killdozer.
If we found out he was hanging out with Gravedigger, that huge monster truck, if he was in that world, killdozers, clean it up, bring out the killdozer, and it could be really cool.
That's what could have avoided a tragedy, is killdozer being friends with Gravedigger.
He just needed a Double Dare for Adults amusement type thing that allows you to have a huge automobile that could murder.
If you put him in a demolition derby, he would have been the LeBron of the demolition derbies and have taken over, taken the sport legit, make him a crossover star, get it onto television. All of a sudden, you got ad deals. I mean, you're welded inside the Killdozer, so every ad deal would just be a picture of the Killdozer and him going, and that's why you got to get Colgate toothpaste, because when they put it through the gun turrets, it's really helping my teeth, my smile, and my breath, but no one knows.
Live from your grave. Live from your grave.
All right, because we have to do something. Okay, so I'm just going to say this one thing about the guy who fed his foot to his buddies. His Reddit username was Incredibly Shiny Shart, and he posted on Reddit in June 2016 that he lost his lost his foot. He was biking, and he was going down a mountainous road, and he lost his foot because he crashed to his foot.
So what happened? It just broke so bad that they had to cut off the foot?
Well, his foot was shattered, so they just gave up. The doctor literally, he went to show his foot to the doctor, and they're like, we give up.
Whoa.
We are going to LeBron this entire surgery.
Very good.
Thank you. And so I didn't think that you could take your severed foot home. You can barely get your teeth from the dentist these days.
I did not know that you could do that. I actually think that's irresponsible. I think the fact that the doctor even just said we're going to have to cut it off instead of trying to save it also was probably irresponsible, because it sounds like it's some kind of express version of being a doctor.
Maybe he didn't go to the right. Maybe he went to like a wedding chapel in Vegas and he was like an Elvis style doctor.
This foot's going to have to come off. Oh.
Thank you, Dr. Elvis. It's like, my real name's Ryan Murphy.
You know, this reminds me that, you know, we're all going to Phoenix at the end of the month for the last podcast live. Apparently there is a cryo lab in Phoenix that is not official in any capacity, but if you sign over, if you sign the waiver, they will find you at the end of your life and saw your head off and put it into a cryo chamber.
Yeah, how
for
do you? That's what I'm doing.
How do you have a non-official cryo chamber? You just take the freezer and like, we put it all the way to 11. So it kind of, like, how do you have a non-official cryo chamber?
Well, it's like not. It doesn't have like the Nintendo seal of approval or anything. It's just guys in white lab coats that got together and they're like, let's freeze heads.
Honestly, if it did have the Lego seal of approval, I would also be like, this is not good. I don't approve of this. But I would, when those cryotherapy rooms that you go where they freeze you to make you feel better and heal your skin and shit, you also don't need a license for that. It can just be fucking a teenager. What? Yeah, I could go.
No way.
Oh, yeah. I did it in Austin.
What did it do for you?
It hurt a lot.
That sucks.
What's the point?
You know, there was nothing to do in Austin for me.
You just get frostbite.
I don't drink, so I was like, I guess I'll get frostbite.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, you can. It's barbecue and frostbite. Those are the only two other things you can do.
It's really not a place for non-drinkers.
I get it. It is a good place for drinkers. I'm not sure if it's good for anyone, actually, but we're going to be there in early August.
You remember how drunk we got?
Yeah, I actually do. I remember how, that was one of our. It's really hard to gauge where our drunkest cities were, but I remember Austin being a wonderful time.
No, I remember that because I remember you saying, like, I'm going to go piss behind this bush. And you stood above the bush, and then you pissed through the bush out through, like, the stream went through the leaves onto the parking lot.
I am political commentator Ben Gissel. Can you stop blowing up my spot? I'm also a good friend. Anyway, 3 weeks later, this dude, July 10th, 2016, he invited his buddies over and he fed them his leg or his foot in fajito tacos and Incredibly Shiny Shart. Said on Reddit, it tastes like buffalo but chewier, it's super beefy, and it's got a little fat. So isn't that interesting? I guess if you're gonna serve your body parts to friends, I think it's good. It's his body, number one, and number two, I guess a fajita is, I don't know, the best thing, best option, I guess.
You know why I say it's a really good option, especially for something like the foot, is that like cabeza, when you make cabeza meat, is that there's very little meat to it. So you have to carve all the, it's all the head meat. So it's all the cheek parts and like all the stuff that holds your eyeballs together and all the face muscles and shit like that. So something like a foot, which doesn't have that much meat to it, you cut it into strips. It's good because what you want to do is you want to cook it at a high temperature quickly, like, because you can't just, because then it'll get really chewy. For him saying it's chewy, that means it was probably overdone. But I also don't know what the difference is. I don't know if it's like pork if you eat person, if you can get sick.
Well, I have no idea. So he invited his ex-girlfriend over, which I think is a little bit mean-spirited.
Very
six
strange.
Others, and I guess in the U.S. there's no federal laws that outright ban cannibalism, but in Idaho you can go to prison if you eat human flesh. But I didn't realize in the U.S. I guess if you serve yourself to others and they are aware that they are eating parts of your body. I guess that's legal. I don't know.
I think so. I think, why wouldn't it be? I think that makes a very big, I think you choose to do with your own body, right? I hate the idea that the government can tell me I can't serve my body to my friends that also consented. I definitely, right. If I were to do something like that, y'all would be fucking signing contracts saying that you were fine with it.
Oh, I mean, again, going back to our earlier conversation, we got so much pork crackling like skin. If they just, you know, I went to our buddy Cena, his brother is a plastic surgeon, and I want to get my body contour surgery. And I did tell him about that. And at the wedding in Italy, he told me, yeah, Ben, I'm totally down to do it. Bring me that cheese. And so then I feel a little bit more hesitant because I don't necessarily want my doctor referring to my body as the cheese. But
he was also blackout drunk.
That was actually a very, very fun time. 12 dudes in a house. It was like the real world. But yeah, it was actually a lot like the real world, like but season 2, like, where they did nothing but sit there.
Yeah, technically it was more tit meat than because of our bodies.
Yes.
Another one I want to talk about is another story involving cannibalism is this story of Kelly Cochran, which is what we're going to see here. It seems like one of the first genuine female serial killers.
Henry, by the way, you mentioned her last name. Just a really quick aside. We mentioned her last name on our last episode, if you take it out of context and talk about what that might mean when it comes to the male genitalia.
Cochran.
Yes. And our friend Preston, he sent a text to my girlfriend Brooke, and he said that's not how they work, and you're using them all wrong. And so he does want to have a. I don't know. He said that you're not using it right, so that's why it's hurting you and things like that. So you should have a conversation with him.
It's maybe I got it too small. I just was. Anyway,
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. But anyway, go on.
I really hurt. So okay. What we have here is Kelly Cochran is a woman that essentially was she shot her lover. She was a part of a shooting of her lover, Chris Regan, who was a man who vanished in 34. So essentially she was married and had a dude that she was sleeping with, and her husband at the time, a man that went by the name of
Earl
Hebner, was Mr. Cochran. But basically, they were together. It seemed to be they were doing quite a bit of drugs together. And she started meeting up with a guy named Chris Regan, who was like, he had a really good job, but basically he quit everything. He's like, essentially, I got a girlfriend. I'm moving to Utah and I'm changing my life. And everyone's like, okay, Chris, whatever. She was like, come over to my house for sex tonight. And he's like, go, boy. Showed up and the husband
Mr. Zabrowski, I just have to interrupt as the judge here. You're the strangest damn prosecutor I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like to keep it fun because jurors get bored.
They do.
So what happened is he come over there, the husband shot Chris Regan, and they had to figure out what to do with this body. Now, originally she said that they were like going to
take him to Phoenix, get him in the cryo lab.
That was the idea. They were going to chop him up and they were going to feed him. They were chop him up. They were going to hide him in the swamp. They were going to go hide him in the woods. Okay. But it seemed like what they were saying is that maybe, just maybe, they carved up the body and served the barbecue to their friends. Now,
how much of a maybe are we talking? Is it a maybe or just like, maybe?
It's a maybe, only because she's talking about it from jail, because then she went on to murder her own husband. What happens, he was supposed to dispose of the bodies, that was the original story, because she then murdered her own husband by giving him a lethal dose of heroin, and then while he was nodding out, she pinched his nose, and then he was just dead. She said that she did it because of in retribution for him murdering her lover, but it seems like the two of them were in cahoots murdering the lover, and then she played him out by killing him, and then everything fell apart for her, because they went looking for him.
Is it wrong to ask, what's the master plan? Let's see she doesn't get caught.
They were junkies.
What's the end?
There was not a lot of planning. They were really zip-zap-zopping. All right. And sometimes improv games don't work out. Sometimes you end up with a really weird ending, and no one wants to talk about those weird middling nights that you see at the Herald Night. But now
and honestly, a lot of improv sets do end with just mass murder. I've seen countless sketches or improv sets that just end with, like, I guess we're going to kill each other or commit suicide or something.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what she did. That is what she did. But from jail now, since then, she's saying that she may be either murdered from 9 to 21 other people. And they are kind of one. Yes, she has been saying in jail that she is a part of this. She's a part of it. She has a lot more crimes. And there's a doc that's going to be coming out very soon called Dead North that I think that is going to
cool
be
name.
Very, very interesting. I want to see. It's on ID Channel, so you know it's going to be very much like in a world. It's going to be very mysterious and very over the top. But there's a lot of people trying to still put together the story, but we may have a pretty good serial killer on our hands.
Is she a, but she was addicted to, I cannot imagine a heroin addict being a serial killer because it requires an immense amount of strength, energy, willpower, patience. I guess maybe they have patience.
You sound like you're praising the serial killer.
No, I'm not praising serial killers. I'm saying that's what has to happen in order to do it.
It is
you can't just be,
yes.
You can't be on heroin, like Kurt Cobain or Gigi Allen. Gigi Allen's probably on heroin too.
He was on heroin,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But like Phil from Pantera, he's just a heavy drinker.
Yeah,
I mean, he's on heroin too. But I think a heavy drinker can do it.
Yes. Well, do we know for a fact that heavy drinkers do it all the time? Dennis Nilsson, Jeffrey Dahmer. But
right.
And so drinking kind of helps them lower their inhibitions. And sometimes you can get drunk strong, where you do a bunch of dumb shit, where you wake up in severe pain in the morning because of what you did the night before.
Yeah, of course.
But,
well, there we go. Interesting story. So we're going to have to follow that one then, right? Is it possible she's just trying to get some free lunches in the jail cell or in prison, make herself seem a little bit tougher than she is?
Well, that is what we learned.
She did kill two people for sure, right?
Yes, she definitely was involved with one murder and then killed her husband. She's serving jail time for that. But a lot of times, yes, it's true. We've talked about this quite a bit. People will sometimes trump up their crimes in jail in order to earn more respect inside the jailhouse, because
right.
That's in the end, it's like, well, that's your home now, so you might as well just be as the top of the heap there, because if not, you get fucking you get your wig split, man. Because the thing, you show up and you're trying, sometimes they pull your fucking wolf card, man. You show up and you're talking a lot of mess about your credit on the streets, and they go and pull your papers, and that doesn't check out. They're gonna fucking split your wig, bro.
I mean, that's what happened, speaking of cannibals, with Jeffrey Dahmer. Evidently, in prison, he totally leaned in, and he would, like, bark at people and be like, I'll eat you. And then, like, he would, like, tell people he was a cannibal, and he would put, like, signs outside of his prison cell until inevitably they were torn down. But it didn't really save him. But, of course, the prison guard was complicit in Dahmer's death. They kind of all let it happen.
Because
I think it was half of a barbell that was being used to hold a door open, wasn't it?
Yep, they got him good. Just how it goes. It's what we'll also learn about Biggie and Tupac right now we're going to see a lot of the disinterest that was put into the investigation of their crimes. It's mostly they're just saying like, well, these guys were going to kill each other anyway.
Yeah.
So they like did our job for them, which
it
is
seems
fucked.
To me like the detectives in the Biggie and Tupac case make Mark Furman from the OJ case look like a super cop.
Well, they're just
it
all the same
like
type
that.
Of guy. Where you're learning
right.
is that there was quite a bit of that activity happening in the LAPD. And they have apparently since kind of cleaned it up a little bit. And I'm going to just say that for certain because I reside in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
and I really don't want to be hurt by them.
Do not. You can't even look at booze and drive in L.A. Look what happened to Vincent Vaughn.
Political retribution.
Vince Vaughn, but you know how they got him? They got him the same way that they could have gotten us had our Uber driver been extremely intoxicated after our wonderful Korean barbecue.
Yeah, buddy. So that shows that it works.
They corralled him in.
It shows that it works.
No, it doesn't work. He was driving fine. He drove in. He could have gone through an In-N-Out Burger drive-thru. That's the
test. I don't know, man.
If you can go through a drive-thru,
I just shouldn't be drinking and driving. All right, unless you're in fucking Florida and you're driving side streets and shit.
L.A. is the only place I've seen a drunk Uber passenger fight an Uber driver, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, outside the Echoplex at the L.A. show. Yeah, this guy pulled the Uber driver out of the car outside of the Echoplex. He was at the show.
He was working there.
He might have been working there. He pulled the driver out and he said, "Motherfucker, I bet you have 33% body fat," and just started wailing on him.
That is such a weird criticism.
And then I got into an Uber truck and drove away.
Uber in LA is amazing. Actually.
You have to be a very brave person to be Uber in LA to drive here. It's very, very intense.
Uber in LA it's the closest you get to like living in the 70s or 80s because sometimes you just get into the back of a Pinto and you're just like, all right. But I like the character. Nothing is worse in LA when you get into an Uber and the person is a failed actor. That is the only time that Uber has been horrible for me. When the guy asked me, I was with Brooke, we were going to the museum, the LA County Museum, and the guy's like, so what do you guys think about Donald Trump? And we're like, oh, you know, it is what it is. You know, he's like, I got some impressions. And it was 10 minutes of him doing an impression of Donald Trump.
Hell yeah.
Which was... It was worse than if Donald Trump was actually our Uber driver.
Tell you what, bro, man, that's the hustle come alive. And that's what you got to do sometimes.
Who do you think we were? What are they looking for, Henry?
Making opportunities, bro.
How? What could
that's reps. That's even... stage time, dude.
Going back to female serial killers, somebody was asking on the last podcast email, has there ever been a female serial killer that has done it for sexual gratification?
The one that murdered the man with the pickaxe, and she was saying that she was having an orgasm the whole
wet.
Time.
Yeah, she said that made her.
Yeah,
wet.
Who was that?
Carla Faye Tucker.
Carla Faye Tucker, the one that W refused to pardon. That's right.
So she got off on serial killing.
She did.
A little bit. But it's the problem is I actually had this conversation with Bria Grant, who's on this movie I was working on. And we were talking about it. She asked me about female serial killers because that's what people do when I'm in the wild. and so we were talking about it. And it's just different because of the drive to murder for ladies is not the same because our need to come as men is much worse. And so if murdering makes you come, we're going to do it a lot more.
I want to say a strange transition here, but speaking of people that are actors and actresses, Daniela Panetta, she is the star of Jurassic Park. What's it called? The Fallen World, Fallen Kingdom, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, Pterodactyl House. Everybody's eating at Pterodactyl House.
She did a interview in the Hollywood Reporter, and she mentioned us, Henry, and she said, I'm going to donate a big chunk of my next big check to their Patreon. So thank you so much, Daniel. That's like so unbelievably nice, and you're just crushing it. And
thank you.
And I'm actually excited to see Jurassic Park because I loved every single one of those movies because dinosaurs eat people, and then I'll just never complain about it.
I'm fine with it. I'll watch dinosaurs, man. I like fucking anything with dinosaurs. Anything that's not a remake of a comedy, I will watch. And I like dinosaurs. Yeah. I'm just saying I just want to see a Jurassic Park movie where it's only dinosaurs.
Well, except for, of course, our friends who are actors and actresses who star in those films.
I'm just saying I want to see more dinosaurs in films be the center parts of films.
Well, that was the big thing after Roseanne was canceled. A lot of folks were calling for the reboot of the dinosaurs, which was a great analogy for the modern American family or the average American family.
I would
family.
See that in a fucking second.
I
want to
see John Goodman wearing a big floppy dinosaur tail.
Oh
is yeah.
Is John Goodman the dad in that?
No, I just thought might as well just use the Roseanne set and just sort of go from there.
Every life experience that John Goodman has gone through, I've loved him more. Like when he was talking about the cancellation of Roseanne, he was just like, well, I wasn't going to win an Emmy anyway. Like he was so perfect about it.
He's also just a reasonable man. Like he's a good, reasonable fucking actor who is a killer in every single thing that he does. All he does is
the
crush.
Best.
And I'm very excited to see whatever the fuck it is he does next. It just releases him to do other cool stuff. And now that he had his like TV cherry popped, he'll be able to do this.
For the 90th time, but yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, those are a couple of fun side stories, and I don't know. It's just nice to spend time with all of you. Hope we helped you get through your day. You help us get through our day.
I like talking on the radio.
Henry, I did that thing where I deactivated my Twitter, and I'm still like, I don't know how I feel about it, but you can find me on Instagram at BenKissel1. I'm going to try to just do Instagram, and I'm going to comment and reply to comments so I can interact with you that way. I was just getting so annoyed with all the BS that was going on with Twitter.
People are just very, it's
not people, it's the mainframe itself. It's like that, the Jack guy, that whole Chick-fil-A thing that I had to comment on across America on HLN, hosted by Carol Costello.
Oh,
that whole
very
thing,
good plug.
Like, what is going on? And why are we rehashing this? But it was, anyway.
Well,
so
yeah, I can't imagine with your shit, with doing the political stuff and the kind of blowback that you get for every single microscopic thing that you say. Like, I can't, if I was at that level where it's like, I don't get that much hate on Twitter, but when I do, it's pretty concentrated. But for some reason, they shoot it right to the top. It's like the first thing that pops up when I see, and there's something about the way that they run that company. I don't understand. It's hard. Like, I wonder how much longer I'll do Twitter, but I feel like I have to because of our show. Like, I feel like I want to like engage with our fans and promote the show
absolutely.
And be a part of the conversation, but it's just very toxic out there.
I know it's so toxic, and the news stories, all they do is amplify the worst parts of everyone. I'm like, oh my God. But so find me on, I'm just, this is an experiment. So find me on Instagram, BenKissel1. I'm going to comment, and I, my DMs are open and stuff too. I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to try to just focus on that. But of course, you can find Henry on Twitter at Henry Loves You, and no, Dr. Fantasty on Instagram, Henry Loves You on Twitter. That's right.
Yeah, you fuckers. Yeah, listen to our show. Yeah. Tell us again, send us a, send us interesting stories you want us to talk about inside stories. Again, we're just having fun chats here, man. We're having fun fucking chats. And maybe we'll do eventually when we're, because it looks like we're going to be making, so we're going to be having some form of streaming show just for our own network. So a part of what we will eventually do is I'd love to do things where we talk with fans while we speak to each other.
Yes. We got a bunch of fun new, we got a bunch of new fun things happening. So, all right, everyone, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan. I'll stop doing triple L, but it's but me saying it technically doesn't stop it.
Was it live, laugh, love? Because I was just, I follow my corgi grams, and there's some new corgi pants that say that exact same thing. And I don't know if it's just, if I'm the only one that sees that image.
Maybe it is the only person that sees that. I think that it's been directed to you because of what I said.
It's very possible. Yep, it's very bizarre.
Yes.
All right, everyone. Magoostalations. We talk to you soon.
Talk to you fuckers soon.